Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right. In England every day, there's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. We won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL, or the spirit of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an absolutely awesome show. The title of the show tonight, once again, I've got to give a big kudos to my friend and colleague, Mr. Dave Milner. The dangerous one. Dangerous Dave. For the great script, the great slides, as per usual. And the show title for tonight is English Defence League Radio Show Highway Robbery. Welcome to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight, we'll be discussing various topics, including the ongoing globalist war on free speech. We stand with those who work to keep the superhighway of debate and opinion open to all. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. And I have a feeling that he was a prime minister at that time. And then we go on to those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So, without further ado, I've got to let you know, we've got, Dave, before I pass it over to you, I'm just going to say we've got our very own Duck Northwest Media, and I've just seen Bigfoot's joined us as well, and he's saying, he's got his thumbs up. English Defence League Radio, thumbs up. Duck Northwest Media with a thumbs up. Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. And Duck Northwest Media, once again, his thumbs up. Dangerous Dave Milner. And Bigfoot says, hi, Duck, Jeff, and Agador. So there you go, Dave. We have got a great gentleman has joined us again this evening. And it's always lovely to see them, isn't it, mate? Back to you, Dave.
All right. Good evening, and hello to everyone. As I want to say a special welcome to Duck Northwest Media and to Biggie Bigfoot's Place.blogspot.com is where you can find Bigfoot's blog. And if you want to get into the chat here, we podcast here live on Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK. And that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern time here in the United States. We all you have to do to get to that is go to blogtalkradio.com, to the white top center search box, type in English Defence League Radio Show or EDL Radio, follow the links. And if you are registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can be in the chat and have a chat with Jeff. Beautiful. Now, we're going to, the show tonight, guys, it's all described in the script, but it's not just speech that the globalists are looking to regulate. They want to regulate every aspect of our lives, and there'll be several stories we'll be doing, time and God permitting. So, Jeff, if you're ready, we'll begin with some stories about the internet.
Sorry, Dave, I was just taking a swig of my tea. I'm ready. I was just finishing. You just
all right. That's right, people. It's all about timing. Now, this one will be about 3.25 minutes long. Let's start this out. You're listening to the English Defence League Radio Show.
Wikipedia facing potential UK ban over online safety censorship bill. by Kurt Sindelka on May 1, 2023. The world's most popular online encyclopedia, Wikipedia, could be potentially banned from the United Kingdom as a result of impending censorship legislation, the charity that hosts the website has warned. The British government's latest foray into censoring the internet could see UK readers and contributors to Wikipedia see their access blocked, with the hosting Wikimedia Foundation charity saying that it will not comply with some of the diktats in the so-called online safety bill. The chief executive of Wikimedia UK, Lucy Crompton Reed, said that a key stumbling block would be the demands from the government to impose age verification checks, which the charity said that it would not do as it would impede upon user privacy. Crompton Reed said that it is definitely possible that one of the most visited websites in the world, which she called a vital source of freely accessible knowledge and information for millions of people, won't be accessible to UK readers, let alone UK-based contributors. The Wikimedia UK exec said that it is conceivable that some of the articles, such as entries concerning sexuality, which contain educational images, could be construed as pornography and therefore the British government could force the online encyclopedia to impose age verification checks on its users in the UK. The increased bureaucracy imposed by this bill will have the effect that only the really big players with significant compliance budgets will be able to operate in the UK market. This could have dire consequences on the information ecosystem here and is, in my view, quite the opposite of what the legislation originally set out to achieve. Under the proposed online safety bill, social media companies and other websites will be placed under the purview of Britain's national broadcasting regulator, Ofcom, the Office of Communications, which would be granted censorship powers on the internet, with the ability to fine firms up to 10% of their global revenue or even a potential outright ban should they fall afoul of vaguely defined harm standards. The bill would require that online firms follow the already restrictive speech laws in the country, such as hate speech laws and communications offenses, including broad terms such as grossly offensive. It would also require that large sites take preventative measures to prevent children from accessing explicit material, such as imposing age checks. It is not currently clear whether educational content, such as that found on Wikipedia, would be classified as pornographic. A spokesperson for the Department for Culture, Media and Sport said, "The world-leading online safety bill has been designed to strike the balance between tackling harm without imposing unnecessary burdens on low-risk tech companies. Ofcom will take a reasonable and proportionate approach when monitoring and enforcing the safety duties outlined in bill, focusing on services where the risk of harm is highest." Follow Kurt Sindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Sindelka.
And welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
Well, I mean, I agree to a certain extent about pornography where children are concerned. But the other bits tied into it does make it like they're clamping down on freedom of speech all around. It's just another way that they can get a clause in and then work it around to their way. And to also to stamp the foot further on people's necks. That's my view. But at the same time, I can understand we do not want children to see some of the graphic material that's out there. So I agree with that. But there's always an underlying thing when it's to do with them and the government. You know, there's a lot underneath, isn't there, Dave? So even though I agree with that part of where children shouldn't have to see those sort of anything articles with related to, you know, anything like that, which we find disgusting. At the same time, we do know it's another way of taking a lump out of their globalist view is to try to tread us further down into the ground. Davis, that's just me thinking, you know, right out there about it, because it does make me, I'm in two minds over it, Dave. I don't know about you, but it makes you think, and I always like to hear your view, what you think about that, Dave.
Well, thank you, Jeff. You did hit the nail on the head in one bit there. The hidden agenda. Their agenda is always there, and they always give great excuses for trampling on freedoms and liberties. You know, public safety. That's a big one, hate speech, that's another big one, and causing harm or grievous offense or the possibility of children being exposed to sexual materials and things of that nature. And I keep coming back, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, but I keep coming back to a few basic things. Number one, children's access to the internet should be monitored by their parents. It is the job of parents to be internet aware. And there's been common access to the internet now for 30 years. This is something that folks should have the ability to deal with, because there are web browsers that will not allow access to certain websites and things of that nature. If you want censorship on the internet, people can set that up for themselves. They don't have to see or hear or whatever, certain things. But what fascinated me about this one, Jeff, this whole business of the online safety bill, quote unquote, from the UK has been going around for months. But they're going after Wikipedia. Wikipedia has been well known as a left-leaning site for a long time. They're basically going after their own. This is how ravenous they've become. And I think that people on the left should take this as a red flag. I mean, I know that rank-and-file lefties love the whole idea of censorship because it seeks to impose silence upon people that they disagree with. But now it's beginning to impose silence on people they agree with. And of course, Jeff, this is something that you and I and our team members on this show have been warning about for almost the entire close to 11 years that this program has been on the air. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is something that should be opposed. This entire online, quote unquote, online safety bill must be opposed. And those, MPs that vote for it should be voted out of office. Do you have anything more, or is there anything out of the chat before we move on?
They should be, we're talking about this, but because Rhea, one of our friends in air, in Ireland, was talking about the same issue as them having the hate speech in air with the same conversation we just had about, the trampling on people of different views. This is what they were talking about, that it should be soon on these shores. In fact, it's in the House of Lords now, so it's been through the bills. Now it's going through the House of Lords, Dave. So this is what I was listening to Rhea and this lady from Ayr in Ireland about this what we've just been talking about, Dave. So that was, this is what, it seems a lot of radio hosts are talking about these issues now. Well, we have been for many years, but some of us are right out there. And the more we talk about it, the more it gets talked about, and there's more pressure put on them. who wants to bring these things about. I think it could be stopped in the House of Lords. A lot of things are stopped in the House of Lords. But we shall see. Only time will tell, won't it, Dave? Back to you, brother.
Yeah, exactly, Jeff. Exactly. All right. We're going to move on to the next one here. This one will kind of curl your toes a little bit if you are a maven of online freedom of speech or freedom of speech at all. All right, this one here, again, lasts about another 3.25 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
EU is disappointed by lack of Twitter censorship, Commissioner says, by Peter Kettle on April 29, 2023. A senior EU commissioner has said that she is disappointed by Twitter's lack of censorship amid the bloc's efforts to crack down on free speech online. Vera Jourova, the vice president of the European Commission, has stated that she is disappointed in Twitter over its failure to implement a sufficient regime of censorship in line with the bloc's ideology. The EU has held the social media company in particularly low regard since it was taken over by Elon Musk late last year, with officials repeatedly threatening to ban the platform from the bloc if it did not comply with local censorship demands. Speaking to the AFP, Jourova said that EU officials were already disappointed that the platform had not yet taken to axing content the EU does not like, arguing that such a failure to censor certain points of view now amounted to allowing disinformation on the website. Twitter is falling short of its commitments to the anti-disinformation code, she claimed, referencing rules that are soon to become mandatory for large tech companies throughout the European Union. She went on to insist that the EU was still in favor of free speech, but only when such speech does not go too far in offending the sensibilities of the bloc's officials. I would really do wish to explain to Mr. Musk our philosophy that we are protectors of freedom of speech, protectors of freedom of expression, the vice president argued. But freedom of speech in the EU is not unlimited. I would compare the situation with driving on the highway, she said. You drive on the highway and overstepping that speed limit, you get a penalty, and one day you might be deprived of your driving license. She went on to say that the Commission now wanted internet giants to intensify their work against Russian propaganda, a process in the EU that has so far involved implementing a bloc-wide firewall against a number of Russian news outlets, meaning that anyone within the Union's borders now needs a VPN to access outlets such as RT and Sputnik News. Despite Musk repeatedly claiming that he is pro-freedom of speech, he has so far abided by EU demands to curb the public's access to certain content, with even the Twitter accounts for certain news outlets being rendered unviewable for those living in countries under the control of Brussels. This has not been enough to satisfy the demands of the Union's leaders, though, with officials now regularly threatening to see Twitter banned from the bloc in the same way as the Russian news outlets if it fails to implement the EU's censorship regime to the letter. Speaking to Breitbart Europe on the issue, populist parliamentarian Tom van den Driesch MEP argued that the EU's hatred for Twitter was ultimately born out of fear, with the politician explaining that the availability of free information is far too dangerous for those in power. That's why they want to regulate social media, the Flemish nationalist explained, describing free speech as having the power to disrupt the imposed version of reality favored by Brussels. Follow Peter Kettle on Twitter, @Peter_Kettle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. The host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff,
I don't know where to start with this one, Dave, you know. It's Musk has always been a one for freedom of speech. You know, can be controversial, but to try to have him shut down and shut Twitter down is very extreme. What are they concerned about? Is they just concerned because it's them? You know, the big cheeses out there that he's going after. That's what their problem is. Because I'm not quite with what they're trying to say. He's got every right. He's the governor. And he's actually really fair with what he's done. He's let a lot of people come back. I mean, Tommy's back, Donald Trump, everybody's back. Who the other lot tried to ban. I think he's been doing a great job. Yes, and some things, he can be a little bit controversial, but so what? It doesn't own him the thing of being banned, or Twitter being banned, because it goes against some of their EU rules. Are you to my way of thinking, Dave? That's you, mate.
Well, it certainly is an interesting point, and it does point out the fear that the globalists and their lackeys have of anyone who speaks the truth and has objective thought, critical thought, concerning any of their agendas, their masters, anything of that nature. I mean, look at the fact, Jeff, that once in a while you have these trolls that call in here. Now, why do they do that? They do it because, in the end, they're afraid of what we have to say. They want to waste as much of our time as possible so that as little as possible of the message will get out, because they're afraid of it. Now, they'll claim that they're not afraid of it, okay, but they are. That is what it's about. This is a policy built on fear. And, you know, the EU commissioner talking about how regulating speech on the internet is like regulating highways and driving on highways, regulating traffic. Okay, that's comparing apples and bicycles. Yes,
yeah.
Both of them are speak to government regulation, but they're completely different things. And now she uses this as an excuse so that they can impose this tyranny, but in the end, it just doesn't work. Not in my view. And Jeff, do we have anything more out of the chat? Because I'm ready to hit up the next one, buddy.
I'm just nothing at the moment. But no, very interesting point. It's just it just makes you think what they're trying to achieve. Simply trying to make him go quiet over certain things because they're the EU. Yeah? Is this what it is? Because they're the EU. And it might be sensitive. That's it. And that really peeves me off. Right? And that does you as well, Dave. But anyway, very interesting article. I really did enjoy listening to that and taking it on board. Because you've got to take it apart, haven't you, really, to try and examine both parts of what she was trying to say. So thank you, Dave. No, thanks a lot, mate.
Okay, Jeff. Now, going to go ahead and do this. But you are right. It is a lot to unpack. But I think you did pretty well. Now, I looked at this one and I said, you know what, this is kind of Elon Musk's response, because this one came out the very next day. This will be about 2.5 minutes, guys. So check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Elon Musk, Euro hate speech laws are a massive attack against freedom of speech. By Peter Catalan, April 30th, 2023. Elon Musk has condemned forthcoming hate speech laws in one EU country as being a massive attack against freedom of speech. Tech billionaire and Twitter CEO Elon Musk said that impending hate speech laws in Ireland are a massive attack against freedom of speech. Under the proposed legislation, Irish authorities will be given the power to criminally convict people for a variety of hate offenses, including the possession of material that could incite hatred in others if disseminated. The proposed law also states that the country's justice system can simply presume that a person in possession of such hate material intends to distribute it if a court deems it reasonable to do so, prompting fear that the proposed law in effect is an attempt by the Irish government to usher in thought crimes. Despite these criticisms being aired during a parliamentary debate earlier this week, Ireland's progressive government has continued to push through the bill, with it now being only a few steps away from becoming law in the country. However, amid concerns posted online about the coming legislation, Twitter head Elon Musk has now waded into the debate, denouncing the proposed Irish legislation as an attack on free expression. This is a massive attack against freedom of speech, Musk wrote on Saturday. Musk's denunciation is likely to send ripples through the Irish political landscape, with many of the island's elite seemingly having a massive dislike for the South African-American entrepreneur. Even the country's president, Michael D. Higgins, has taken potshots at Musk in the past, decrying his takeover of Twitter as being a form of dictatorship last year. However, while Ireland's politicians may not like him, Musk's opinions are still likely to have some weight in the country thanks to its massive over-reliance on U.S. multinationals within the tech and pharmaceutical sectors. Musk's very own Twitter even has its European headquarters located in the Irish capital of Dublin, with Ireland's regulatory bodies having significant control over the activities of the social media giant within the EU. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, at Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the English Fantasy Radio Show with your host, Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff,
well,
go for it.
Exactly what I was talking about, that Rhea and her friend in air was discussing about these hate laws. Now, he's come out on the Saturday and went for their jugulars over it. And stood on him. That is why we like him. That is why I like the man. I like the way he stands up against these petty idiots. Because that's what they are. Trying to cause absolutely chaos amongst them and have people imprisoned for hate speeches. It's disgusting. But then again, only in Ireland, but only in Britain as well, because the laws are going through, or they're in the House of Commons nowadays. So we shall see how this turns out. I hope Elon has got a few words to say about our British Parliament as well, because he does hold a very powerful way about him. The world listens to what he has to say, and we need more people like him, don't we, Dave? That's you.
I'll get to that in a second, I guess, Jeff, but... Firstly, I find it hilarious that the Irish PM is actually calling Elon Musk a dictator when they're putting, when they're basically setting forth laws that, to paraphrase the "We Got a Problem" guy, make George Orwell's 1984 look less like a warning and more like an instruction manual. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is effing ridiculous, man. And this is something I want to say to my American brothers and sisters, guys, you know, I mean, if there is one thing that migrates faster, that I said this on Ken McClinton's show on Thursday night, if there is one thing that migrates faster than an Eastern Muslim headed towards a Western country for some free welfare and some rape time with an underage non-Muslim girl, it's bad ideas from Europe and from other places like that. Don't think that the United States of America is immune. Okay, this is the plan. The plan is to impose such draconian hate speech laws across the entire internet, not just in Ireland, not just in the UK, not just in the West, all over, so that only one group of people can ever have any kind of expression. Get ready, guys, for underground transfer of information, because that's going to be the only way you can do it. All right, so there you go with that, Jeff. Is there anything out of chat, buddy?
Yeah, thank you, Dave. And I didn't mean to talk over you at the end there, but I just want to say it is a conspiracy amongst all the high-flying globalists out there. If you look where it all comes from, these are the one percenters. They're going after the, you know, the people through who they are. And that's why we've got to go step to step with them every step of the way, because they are trying to move it harder now. Now we must move harder with them, mustn't we? Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. They are coming after us. Look, hate speech, ready to put you in prison because you said something wrong, which was maybe so petty. But this is how they think they can have the jackboot on the back of your neck or our necks. And it's just not in Ireland, it's just not over here. It's across the globe. They're all in collusion with it. All in collusion. Oh, so I've got to tell you though. people are talking about King Charles's coronation or whatever it was. I didn't watch a thing about it. I don't want to watch no nonsense King Charles. The last time I heard about King Charles was one back in the 1600s when he had his head chopped off. That's the only one time I want to listen about what goes on with him. What he went up, what he got up with Jimmy Savile and all that. I wanted to put that out there because there's a lot of people, I like him. Yes, sad. Just don't get it, do they, Dave? But we do, because we've followed it all these years, haven't we, mate? We've followed what they've been up to, the dirty load of scumbags. Andrew hiding behind a pillar post yesterday. So I was told. So I was told. He was hiding. Typical. That's you, Dave.
Okay. I had to admit that I didn't watch any of it either, but you know, but here's before we shift over to another thing, which is it's almost like the coronation, but you know, slightly off by a few degrees. When it comes to regulation of speech, there really is a difference between the globalists and the people who follow them, and the critical thinkers. And the difference can be summed up in, you know, analogies to the Lord of the Rings. All right. The globalists lust after that ring of power that is free speech. Their mouths water when they think about being able to regulate what people say. They, as I said, they lust after it. Now, free thinkers all realize that no one person and no one group has the moral ability to be able, and the wisdom, to be able to make those calls as to what people can and what people cannot say. That's the difference. And I want to say to the people out there, both the people that are following the globalist crowd and the ones who aren't, when it comes to deciding what news sources you should trust, look to the ones that understand that no one has the wisdom to make the calls about free speech. Look to them not to the ones who lust after that power. Jeff, is there anything out of chat, or do you have anything to say there?
I was just going to, before I look at the chat, I was going to say, people should listen to what we say, because that's what we talk about. We talk about these people who try to shut down people, free speech, freedom of expression and that. And we've been, Dave, me and you've been together for many years. I don't think there has ever been a week gone by that we have not mentioned what's going on, or we will never not mention what's going on. As soon as we hear it raise its ugly head, we're stamping all over it, aren't we, Dave? That is what we do, you know, because we can see that things could get rather really nasty for our future generations. It's not just for me and Dave. It's for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What's their future going to be like if they're allowed to get away with it? But as you told me once, Dave, there will come a time when those people realise how bad the situation they've let it become, that they will stand up, put it right, and get back to normality. And guess what you told me, didn't you, Dave? On a few occasions. Back to you, brother.
All right. Yeah, I did. I did say that. All right. Well, guys, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Like I said, this isn't about the coronation. This is, but it is an indication of who is and who is not a real conservative in the UK. So give this one a listen. It's about 3.5 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defence League radio show.
DeSantis shunned as UK Prime Minister refuses meeting with visiting Republican, by Peter Cattell on April 28, 2023. Apparent US presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis has reportedly been snubbed by the UK Prime Minister, who has refused a potential meeting with a Republican governor while he is visiting Britain. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak will avoid a meeting with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is set to touch down in the UK on Friday as part of a four-country international tour. Although reportedly billed as an attempt to boost Florida's trade relations with foreign governments, many believe the tour is a precursor to DeSantis' run to become America's next president, with such international road trips being common for would-be nominees for the top job. DeSantis has been warmly greeted by the leaders of the other countries he has visited so far, with the prime ministers of Israel, South Korea and Japan all taking their time to meet the influential American politician in the full knowledge he could be the U.S.'s next commander-in-chief. However, according to a report by The Times, no such meeting will take place between DeSantis and Sunak, with the Florida governor instead set to be pawned off to lower-ranking UK officials James Cleverly and Kemi Badenoch. The Prime Minister's office has reportedly insisted that the lack of a meeting between the two leaders is merely the result of a scheduling clash, which they claim has made a face-to-face impossible, though such an excuse has been deemed convenient at best by insiders cited in the report. Instead, sources close to the PM have claimed that Sunak's decision to refuse a meeting is an attempt to prevent him from influencing internal Republican Party politics. Obviously, there is a balance to be struck, one government source is reported as saying. We need to take him seriously, as it is not impossible that he could be the next president, but there are clearly sensitivities given the state of the Republican race. In particular, the source claimed that Sunak's refusal was an attempt to pacify former President Donald Trump, who is also due to visit the UK in the coming days. Although insiders have claimed that the Sunak snub is an attempt to prevent foreign interference in U.S. elections, such a suggestion is not exactly airtight, with former prime ministers having reportedly engaged with various U.S. presidential candidates in the past. What likely has not helped DeSantis' chances of securing a meeting is the massive ideological gap in U.S. and U.K. politics. Although Rishi Sunak is ostensibly the prime minister of a right-wing government in the U.K., his Conservative Party ultimately has far more in common with the U.S. Democrats, with both parties regularly pushing green agenda politics while also having a soft touch when it comes to mass immigration. Sunak's approach to COVID-19 was also radically different to that of the Florida governor. With the now UK Prime Minister formerly serving in an administration that regularly imposed draconian restrictions against its population all in the name of stopping the spread of the coronavirus. Both men's approach to the issue of transgenderism is also very different, with DeSantis regularly publicly challenging the ideology, while Sunak struggles to admit that no women have penises. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Yeah, I can see why Sunak would be confused about penises. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
Very, one-sided. I mean, now he's willing to take, Donald Trump visits. He will take, take him on board, but not DeSantis, and I think that is so unfair. They're both Republicans, for goodness sake. You know, you should be at both of their sides, and you know, you should be impartial. I don't know what you think, Dave, but I think it's just being snobbish, and Sunak sounds more of a Democrat than he does of a conservative, the way that he's acting. And I do not understand what he's trying to achieve. He's got to have some sort of agenda, but for the life of me, Dave, I don't know what it is. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. But honestly, I believe that what this is simply like minds. Sunak just cannot deal with DeSantis. You heard the many issues that they disagree on. And yes, Sunak, we know, is very comfortable with creepy Joe Biden and with Democrats and with lefties because, again, he agrees with them on practically every issue. He claims to be a conservative, but he isn't acting like one. He hasn't acted like one from day one. And DeSantis, I've got to say, I admire a whole lot. He's been probably the most effective governor, state governor in the United States, that quite honestly, for the advancement of conservative causes that I can remember. And again, my memory goes back to 1968 when we're talking about stuff like this. He's a dynamo. And this is not something that the left likes. And let's face it, Sunak is part of that crowd. He's part of the leftist / globalist / World Economic Forum crowd. And just like Emmanuel Macron, just like Justin Trudeau, he's quite frankly a great big wiener. And my guess is he probably would want to stay out of Germany because they'd probably try and put him in a schnitzel. You got anything more, Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I had one comment by Duck Northwest Media, free speech. And I would agree with what you just said, free speech. It should be heard whatever side it comes from, whether it's DeSantis, whether it's Trump, whoever. That is what being the Prime Minister, you're supposed to listen to both sides of the equation. That is it. Listen and speak to, on behalf of the public or the public with them. That's what it's about, isn't it, Dave? But it does seem when he does things like that, that is being one-sided, and that comes over as really bad. But that's just me, and you probably feel the same, Dave. Back to you.
I do, Jeff. Now, guys, this next one, I mean, this, aside from the free speech on the internet thing, this one is just leaves me almost speechless. Of course, I'm not going to be speechless once it's done, but if you like to eat, give this one a listen. It's about 3 1/4 minutes long. Again, we've got a few of those today. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Give this a listen. And remember, bad ideas migrate.
EU backs Dutch scheme to forcibly shut down thousands of farms, ban farmers from returning to agriculture forever. By Kurt Zindelke on May 3, 2023. The European Commission in Brussels has backed a scheme by the globalist government of Prime Minister Mark Rutte in the Netherlands that would see thousands of farms shut down in order to comply with EU climate goals. On Tuesday, the governing arm of the European Union officially threw its support behind plans by the Dutch government to buy out thousands of farmers from their lands in order to meet the EU's Natura 2000 scheme to protect certain environments. The plan, which would offer farmers 120% of the value of their farm, could see some 3,000 so-called peak emitters of nitrogen shut down. It was unclear before this week whether the EU would permit such a scheme, as it could have potentially fallen afoul of regulations surrounding state aid or subsidies. However, Brussels said that the plans were necessary and appropriate as they met the broader goals of the European Green Deal. The positive effects transcend any distortions of the free market, the statement added. In addition to the plan to buy out, or eventually force out if they refuse, the peak emitting farms, the government is also planning a separate scheme that would give dairy, pig, and poultry farmers a deal for 100% of the value of their farm if they wish to shut down. In total, some 1.4 billion euros is expected to be set aside for both farm shutdown schemes. Should the plan go ahead, it would not only be a major blow for the farming industry in the Netherlands, which is one of the most productive in Europe, but could potentially impact other nations as well, given that part of the condition of the buyout scheme is that the Dutch farmers would be prohibited from moving to other countries and starting up farms abroad, meaning that their knowledge and expertise would be squandered. Responding to the announcement from the EU, Dutch political commentator Yves La Ardingerbroek said, "This is how they do it. They put a knife to the farmers' throats. They make sure they don't get their licenses renewed. They're plaguing them with new rules and restrictions every day and then offer them a bribe, knowing many will take it out of pure desperation. It's also vile. I also highly doubt that prohibiting them to start over elsewhere in the EU is even legal. The whole idea of the EU is supposed to be about freedom of movement and freedom of workers. This is some next-level USSR stuff," Vla Ardingerbroek added. The plan to shut down thousands of farms is by no means a done deal. However, given that it would need to be managed mostly at the provincial level, this may be complicated for the fledgling Rutte government as the upstart tractor protest-backing farmer citizen movement. BBB party not only became the single largest party in the Dutch Senate in March but also one of the largest parties at the provincial level where many of the farms are located. There have also been some cracks within Rutte's coalition, with the CDA party expressing doubt over the general nitrogen emission crackdown following the surprise victory of the BBB party. Follow Kurt Zindelke on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelke.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, how are you?
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to carry through with it. It's not going to happen. There's going to be too much hoo-ha about it all. There's already the groups already standing up and opposing it. It won't happen. Well, I hope the brave don't. That's all I can say is they're trying their darndest because it's all this climate crap that they're pushing for. But I believe common sense will prevail, and that farmers, anyway, whatever happens, farmers should be allowed to do what they want. If they want to farm in another country, it should have nothing to do with the EU, who they farm for or what countries they farm for. They should keep their noses out of people's business and let people do what they've done for centuries, do their farming and do it in a prosperous way for themselves and their families and for everybody else that looks towards their products, Dave. Back to you.
Well, that's a great one. And yeah, Jeff, I mean, this idea just makes no sense. Not only for this global warming nonsense are they wanting to shut down thousands of farms, and this is only in one country. Like I said, bad ideas migrate. So this could be in the UK next year. It could be in the US in another couple of years. I mean, let's remember, American brothers and sisters, last year, we had those mysterious mass deaths of cattle herds in the U.S. This is a bad idea all the way around. And then they want to tell them they can never farm again. Do these people not realize that farming is a skill? I mean, now I can understand if they're people from the cities and they think and they view farmers as dumb yokels who don't have any intelligence or anything like that. Let me tell you, skill and intelligence are both required to make a good farmer. They're both required. And I am very happy that this is facing stiff and serious opposition in the Netherlands. And I really, as Jeff says, I hope and pray that this does not succeed. Jeff, I'm going to play something here that was done in 1978 by Paul Harvey. I know a lot of people think Rush Limbaugh was the greatest, but before him, there was Paul Harvey. I just want to play this one just to kind of give an example of what a farmer goes through. Okay, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then pain in from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners, somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
That was glorious. Dave, I think that should be played a lot more. When we hear these stories with these idiots trying to shut down our lovely farmers out there, and we should play that. People should hear what a farmer has to go through. It's not an easy life, but they love it. That is what you get from listening to that, don't you, Dave? The love that they get from doing what they do. Even when a colt dies and he wipes the tears from his eyes and he goes on and does his next job, buries his colt, does what he does, and so on. That should be played very often, Dave, very often. So as we can let the rest of the world know how farmers, how they work so hard and they do such a fantastic job. God wants them to be farmers. No one else but God wants them to be farmers. That's what they are. Thank you, Dave. I love that, man.
Well, you're welcome, Jeff, and welcome back, everybody, to the English Translate Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danielman Mitchell, who you just heard from. Yeah, Paul Harvey had a great way of putting everything, and it was certainly better than the way I put it. You know, that farming requires skill, and it requires intelligence, and it requires a moral compass as well. And the benefit that the rest of us get from what they do is enormous. When you think about the fact that farms are being shut down now, all over the Western world, you have to consider things like the fact that food prices, both in the UK and in the States, are going through the roof. There are food shortages in the UK. And France, is part of the reason France is burning right now with protests is because of food shortages. And what is the globalist answer to this? What they're basically saying is we don't give a damn if the people starve as long as we address this issue that we put up so that we can get together once in a while in conferences with our private jets and pat each other on the back and tell each other how awesome we are and all of this nonsense and control people. It's about control. And to my mind, everyone should support the farmers. It doesn't matter whether you're in a rural area, a suburb, or a city, because they're the ones that help keep our bellies full. Instead of anyone showing them contempt, we need to all show them our respect. Jeff, is there anything out of chat, buddy?
Yes, actually, I've got a great comment by Al Bigfoot. He says, do Europeans like to eat? If so, leave those farmers alone. That, well said, Bigfoot, and I agree 1,000% with you, brother. Thank you so much for that. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, Biggie, it's just common sense. That's why I said before I ran the actual story, before the Paul Harvey thing, if you like to eat, pay attention. But again, the show is called Highway Robbery. And basically, for a nonsense issue, they want to rob the food out of people's mouths. I mean, can anyone else not see how out of control this is? It's so out of control. The globalist agenda is so out of control, especially with certain issues, that it gets to the ironically ridiculous, and that's where our next story comes in. Guys, give this a listen. Jeff already knows about this one, but give this a listen. This is 3 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Disused cruise ships and ferries, UK to house boat migrants on boats, by Peter Catalan, May 2, 2023. The UK government is planning on buying up to 10 disused ships in the hopes of housing English Channel boat migrants while avoiding the controversy of using three-star hotels or camps near rural communities, as has been the practice until now. Authorities within the UK government are looking to purchase up to 10 disused ships for the purpose of housing foreign boat migrants who have crossed the English Channel, a report on Tuesday has claimed. The UK has seen its asylum industry overwhelmed amid the arrival of tens of thousands of migrants over the last 2 years, with the government being forced to rent out hotels to house illegals amid a lack of alternative housing. Such a method of accommodating arrivals has proven extremely unpopular with Conservative Party voters, with both the high cost of the project combined with the damage it could do to tourism areas where hotels have been rented, prompting an outcry in the country. According to a report by The Guardian, the UK Home Office now aims to help solve the housing issue by purchasing up to 10 ships to house migrants on as they await the result of their asylum claims. Officials are reportedly on the hunt for disused barges, ferries and cruise liners on the open market, with Home Secretary Suella Braverman said to be close to agreeing the purchase of one retired cruise ship that could hold nearly 2,000 people. Another barge that can hold 400 people has already reportedly been acquired by officials and is due to be installed in Dorset before June. With there being a shortage of such ships on the international market, however, maritime agencies are even said to be examining the feasibility of housing migrants on disused oil rigs, a plan that had previously been rejected by the government over safety concerns. Speaking to the publication, one source from inside the government hoped that the move of housing migrants on disused boats would create a deterrent effect that would keep foreign arrivals away. Such a suggestion appears to be wishful thinking, however, with each and every scheme implemented by the Conservative Party in the hopes of ending the ongoing Channel migrant crisis failing abysmally. The most famous of these maneuvers is by far the plan to deport illegal migrants to Rwanda for them to settle there instead, with not a single foreign arrival having yet been deported to the African nation for this purpose since the plan was formally adopted. Meanwhile, attempts to source 10,000 extra beds for migrant arrivals have gone extremely poorly, with authorities only succeeding in finding places for half that number in military camps, disused prisons and large vessels under government control. Home Office officials have even conceded that they will likely have to hire even more hotels to look after migrants if trends continue, a move that is likely to infuriate the taxpayer in the run-up to a general election, which is due to be held in early 2025 by the latest. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Welcome to Clown World. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff?
What made me laugh was putting them on oil rigs. I mean, Dave, can you believe it? Oil rigs. And then the three dinghy boats sailing up. It is so ridiculous. What is the matter with these people? Can't they just turn them around, send them back to where they come from? Do not cross this line. This is a red line. You do not cross. You stay back over your line. You go back where you come from. We are full up. We don't want no more. We can't afford no more. Our hotels are fully booked. Tourists are staying away. We're losing our tourist trade through you. And what do you bring us? Squalor. Nothing but squalor, and you want more money. We're fed up. Until our governments, the so-called governments, have the guts to do something about this instead of these stupid pie-in-the-sky schemes, we're just going to go, we're running into oblivion, aren't we, Dave? What the hell are they doing? Really time they got their act together, stop being such a bloody nanny state, be strict, send them back, they don't like it, let them cry the thousand tears across back over across the ocean. There you go. Let them cry their ocean tears. We've had enough. Well, I've had enough anyway, put it that way. And so is this. So is our country. Oh, come on, guys. We're only a little island, for God's sake. We're going to sink soon. My God. So, Dave, that's you.
Well, yeah, Jeff. I mean, it's just the ultimate in ironic ridiculousness that they're taking in boat migrants and they're putting them on boats. That's it drives you to tears in one sense, but another sense you have to laugh. I mean, just the idiocy of it all. When what they should be doing is saying, okay, illegal aliens just coming across. No, we're not going to have that. What we're going to do is give the Royal Navy some nice target practice. Now, I know that's not going to go down very well, but I can guarantee some of those flimsy life rafts and everything would go down very nicely with a nice medium caliber shell right in the middle.
Maybe we'll put a shoal of sharks around there as well, Dave.
Well, certainly. I mean, what they're doing to the people of the UK, and a few weeks ago we played the Tommy Robinson documentary, Plantation 2, and what they're doing to Ireland. The same thing is going on in the UK.
Yeah.
Tourists are being, they're not even bothering to show up if they know what's going on. And when they do show up, they're being met with... And Jeff, this was great what you said. Squalor. Yeah, I mean, not like the England that they envision. You know, they picture like, you know, let's say Stratford on Avon. All right. You imagine, you know, like the home of Shakespeare and all this, and that and so many other places in the UK, and you run into. Hundreds of young military age men that are looking up your wife and trying to mac on her while you're just trying to enjoy the sights. And that's going on all over the West now. And tourism has to be suffering everywhere. And yet they still want to bring these people in. Guys, here's a secret. All of you politicians that want to bring these people in so you can give them the vote and stay in power forever, you're not understanding how your own political systems work. Okay, if you don't get voted into office, so what? You can get a job in the bureaucracy and you'll be fine for the rest of your lives. You can weasel your way back in. It happens all the time. Again, Jeff and I have done programs on this. These disgraced politicians wind up somewhere in the bureaucracy. They don't wind up homeless and on their ass like so many veterans in the UK who should have a home. Okay, they don't wind up that way. They wind up back in the government service. Just let go of this influx of illegal migrants. And I say the same thing for my own country, the United States. Let go of that. Stop doing that. Start sending them back. And if there are repercussions politically, you're not going to wind up starving because you're going to be in the bureaucracy. All right? That's the way politics works in the 21st century. And I'm really surprised that you're not cluing into this. Jeff... anything out of the chat, or do you have any further comments?
Well, I just want to say it's what they're... Bigfoot said there. But the way they're doing things is just... It's stupid. They should really get their acts together and do something positive instead of sitting around talking, you know, with their caviar lunches and all that, talking about what we should be doing. And they come out of that and they ain't got an idea in hell what they're going to do. Any excuse for their caviar lunches, isn't it, Dave? You know, but they should have, or the people that run the country, who are not the right ones that we got in power at this moment, should be doing that. We should have common sense people run our nation, our countries, so that we can do that. You've got it astronomical over there, Dave. I feel for your poor people in the United States, because you've got it as bad as we have. And it's as though it's meant to be. It's being connived to do, to create this total chaos. And, you know, in my back of my mind, as it all the time, it's all to do with the cultists of death, is how they want to cause chaos. So there you go. In the end, come to what I think in the end, it's a cultists of death plan. Don't forget, many years ago, they come across in the States of a plan how they'll destroy the United States from within. You remember that, Dave? It was very popular at the time. And that is their plan of how they're going to go about it. And they're still in the proceeds of that, aren't they, Dave? Back to you, bruv.
Oh, yeah. Certainly, the Mohammedans are the agents of chaos. Now, of course, they're not the front men for now. For now, they're not the front men, but they're beginning to be the front men. We have Congress people over here in the United States. There are high officials in the UK that are Mohammedans. So yeah, it's happening. And that, all I can say, guys, is that resistance can occur. We showed you in our last show how some of that can happen, and it will be on the people at some point to initiate that, figuratively speaking. What will happen in the future, I think, will be up to the people. We will certainly have to go underground as far as exchange of information goes. It'll be slower, but it will happen. And for all of the people who want to rob us of everything, including our freedoms and liberties, understand, the more you clamp down, the more dissidence you will create to what you want to do, including people who used to be on your side. And that isn't something that you want. Although I know you think that it's not going to matter, just imagine how you've ginned these people up against the right. And imagine that same logic being turned on to you. Jeff, do you have anything else to say, or is there anything out of the chat before I do my finals?
I was just going to say that what we've said many times before, all this going on, there's only three things I can say, and you would agree with me, Dave, and I know you would join in with me. Resist, resist, resist. That's how you stop these evil people out there, these globalist scumbags. Resist. Remember those three words. It's easy to remember, but that's what you've got to do. Never give in, never give in, never give up, and never, ever surrender. So there's a few more words I added to that as well, Dave. Back to you.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, well, okay, guys, well, it's been a great show, and I want to thank Biggie and Duck Northwest Media for being in the chat.
Brilliant.
And Jeff, Yeah, Jeff, great commentary from you. Very insightful. Everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My show times in the United States are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. And there are new-to-you shows that come on at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. On Saturdays, and that's 5 a.m. In the U.K. on a Saturday. And, of course, I'm on with Ken McClinton at around 2 a.m. in the U.K. on Friday mornings, and that is after 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States. I'm on with him on the Exceptional Conservative Show. We do a regular Thursday night segment, and you can hear that segment on Ken McClinton's Rumble page, which you can get to by going to the show page and looking at the TECN.TV link. All right, so guys, all I have to say is thank you for listening, and be prosperous, be blessed. And as Jeff says, no surrender ever. And Jeff, the Jam are on stage and they're ready to go, my brother. You just say when.
Yeah, I know. I see them there. They give me the thumbs up and that, and looking all excited. All I've got to say is you always do well, guys. People love you. Keep coming back, because the more you come back, the more people are listening to you, and you're always going to be stars. So there you go. That's all I want to say, Dave. And to our other two guys, thank you for joining us every week. You're a blessing, and some great commentary from the pair of you tonight as well. So cheers, guys. With that, Dave, let me pass it over to you, so that you can let the Jam get on and do their thing, mate.
Yeah, ow, okay. One of them just hit me in the head with a peanut because I didn't mention that EDL Radio is also reflected at the TECN.TV radio page. Okay, okay, I got it. Okay, all right. Okay, hit it, guys.
Well, there you go. My goodness me, the show went so quick tonight. It was a blur tonight, but we had so many very interesting topics to discuss. I hope everybody who's out there has been listening in to the shows, have enjoyed the shows as much as Dave and myself has done bringing it to you. Sometimes we get a bit angry, certain things. So do you. I know you do, guys. But, you know, we tell it the way it is. That's what I was saying. No matter what they tried and tried to lie to us, we're here and they won't get past us. And we hate liars. And we will tell you the truth week in, week out. But anyway, once again, I've got to say we'll be back again next week. Same time, same channel. Me and my dear buddy, Dangerous Dave. And we love, you know what? I'll tell you now, me and Dave love doing these shows. You know, we really do. We know it's so important to do these. We often talk about it, how we find it so important that you, our great listeners, get to hear what's going on out there and the things that you won't hear because they try to hide from you. But we will always let you know. So with that, all I've got to say is this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight, but hopefully if you've enjoyed us, we'll see you back here next week. So, as I say, take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and no surrender ever. Good night, everybody. One and all. Bye-bye.